You're listening to The Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Okay.
Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Gotta get up early in the morning. Absolutely beautiful day. I often wonder every time I wake up and I drive into Honolulu here or just look around and I think, who's the artist that painted these pictures for us every morning? And if you were driving in this morning, you look at Diamond Head. Absolutely stunning. So if nothing else, if we have furloughs and crooked politicians and all, we still have this beautiful picture that someone paints every night we go to bed. So anyway, today I got some people out from Haula, and as usual, the purpose of this effort of mine, of this show, is to try and bring subject matter that you and I would experience every day but would never get any media coverage because it's an individual thing, but it's not a group thing. That's people are getting ripped off or treated badly by the government or what have you. So I try to reach out and make this show available to people that have problems like you or myself that go unnoticed, and actually government just walks on your rights. So today I have Chun James, Miss Chun James from Haula area, and Mr. Marvin Iseki. And we're going to be talking about eminent domain, and basically I'm going to call it the seizure of your property. And this is a seizure of her property, and you can go away thinking or deciding how you want to, but just keep in mind, today it's Chun James, tomorrow it's you and I, or maybe they're already working on it, so they can take your property, they being the city council, all of those people that sit and smile with you and decide that they're going to take care of you and manage your affairs, can actually walk in, initiate an action, take your property. And there is nothing you can do. You're at their mercy, and the system is that. And some of you probably already heard of this. But anyway, so much said now. But good morning, Chun and Mr. Marvin.
Good morning.
Yeah, listen, what I want to do is just right off, what is the situation with you, Chun, specifically, in a nutshell, and then we'll go later in detail.
Sure, thank you. Basically, you know, eminent domain is something that we really need to concern about. You know, considering that I am a, you know, real estate broker, and I've been in the business for over 25 years. I've read about it. I've always never felt right about it, but it's never come so this personal, this up close.
Knocking on your doorstep.
Yeah,
huh?
No, you know, but. But what had happened was that there are two last remaining commercial lots left in Haula. It's mm-hmm. a very rural town, very small, and very limited commercial lot. And my sister was thinking of selling it about 3 years ago. And so I had knew that the fire station had been talking about relocating for a long time. And so in my ignorance as a you know, private citizen, I thought, hey, my sister's lot might be a good lot for relocation. And so I told them, and I shouldn't have really, because you know, when I met with Mr. Thomas Miata, the land chief from the Department of Construction and Design, or Design and Construction, you know, he told me that, yeah, let us investigate and let us explore, give us permission to investigate and explore, you know, but if you do not want to sell, the city is not going to force you to sell.
Mm-hmm.
So me, in my ignorance and been too trusting, I trusted his words. And now I've as I look back, you know, it was a setup, and it's something that I should have never do, is to trust land chief in my case. And because of that, the process, you know, has begun to take place, and the city and we can get into it more. The city then quickly, you know, forced a resolution through in 42 days, and now the city is suing us in court to gain possession to the title so that they can have it. Of course, it sounds really good, you know, that this is for public purpose, for public safety, mm-hmm. but it is the process, it is the way it was done, it's the lack of transparency, it's the lack of public disclosure, and the dirty politics, I cannot imagine.
Mm-hmm. And Marvin, can you add to this? And we are now talking about the city and county of Honolulu.
Yes.
When we
uh-huh.
say they, I want to make sure the public knows that that it's not some federal agency, it's not an entity coming from outside of the city. It is the city government itself under the Department of Planning and Permitting, under the Hanneman administration, correct? And when was this initiated? Was it initiated under the Harris administration, or was it initiated under Hanneman's administration?
Oh, no. Definitely under the Murphy Hanneman administration.
Okay.
It just started really recently.
Okay. Marvin, what do you know about this? A little background that you can add to this for the listener.
Well, first of all, we did not have a public hearing. We did not have the officials, Donovan, Tom Miata, and the Land Division, the Fire Department Administration, and Mr. Gerald Park come to Haula and have a town hall meeting where the people in Haula could voice their opinion as far as the relocation of the fire station. We should have had them there and give us the alternative sites that they had in mind, which they failed to do. And in that way, the people of the community of Haula could decide which property that the fire station should be relocated. They said that where they're at now is a flood zone area, and they wanted to move to the property that they want to condemn, which belongs to Mr. or Mrs. Julie James. and the fact is that that's a commercial property. If they take that away, there is no other commercial property in that area. But because they fail to have a public hearing and let the people of Haula decide, I think that would have gone smoother than what it is now. Because they failed to do what they should have done as a public servant to us, this have become like a chaos as far as having a fire station relocated.
Mm-hmm. Now, the two of you mentioned there are alternative sites. Can you name me a couple sites that you guys would have proposed or that the city should be looking at?
Well, the city did not inform us as to the sites they chose. I mean, they had in mind. They said they had 9 sites, but they did not disclose the sites to the people of the community.
Mm-hmm.
Had they done that and let the people there in the Haula community decide which one should be taken for the relocation of the fire department, I think that should have been a good way to do it. But since they failed to do it, we don't know the other sites. All we know, they want to condemn our property and relocate the fire station there. Now, they talked about the present site is a flood zone area, and they want to move to another flood zone area. The people that live there substantiated by saying that they paying
flood insurance.
So the firemen, they did not know that was the case. So even I think the firemen, when they came to the board meeting, I asked the question about flood zone from where they at now to where they want to move. But they were not aware that was also a flood zone area. So I think because of not communicating like they should do with the people of Haula, this has caused a lot of headaches for Mrs. Coon James,
mm-hmm.
and also the people of the community of Haula.
Now, isn't the Sacred Falls area suitable that you guys had shared an opinion? What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's of course one suggestion. But the interesting thing is that
The Sacred Falls, I'm just trying to identify.
Yeah.
Is the Sacred Falls, do you have any ideas about that real quickly?
That's one suggestion, but there are also other sites. It could really be the lot next door to the site that is being taken. All they have to do is look north. You know, there is an old Kentucky Fried Chicken.
And who owns that
lot? It's a private owner from downtown, and we have told them about it, but they have said that, well, we do not have time to investigate, so they have not even investigated that site.
Now, the question I would ask then, if I was a listener, so in other words, I'm always careful not to be offensive, but and what clearly goes to my mind now is that if you're saying, Well, don't take mine, but take the other fellow's. Is it about that?
No, not quite, because the other fellow wants to sell.
Okay.
See, so
yeah.
that's a big difference there.
Okay, I knew that, but I wanted
we
have to be specific. I don't like innuendos and creeping, and because we'll do more injustice by confusing the listener out there. So the owner of the site next door is willing to sell.
Yes.
But they want to take yours by force.
Yes, because the city says that, well, we don't have time to investigate just the lot next door, mm-hmm. and which is actually further from the congested traffic by Kawaipuna. Mm-hmm. You know, it's further from residential homes, and it's further from the preschool. But the interesting point I wanted to note, you know, they keep on saying that, first they started by saying that we've been looking for 10 years, and then they said, oh, we've been looking for 20 years to find this relocation. But as I do some research, it's very interesting to note that in 2003, the site that was suggested to them, okay, and obviously this 2008 or 2009 lot was also told to them. So it tells me that the DDC, the Department of Design and Construction, really did not see this as an urgent, or nor do they take the initiative to do their work. It is always some lay citizen who really do not have a lot of experiences in locating the requisites or whatever for a fire station. Mm-hmm. And yet, every time someone tells them something, they take the suggestion, do not rigorously examine it, and then that site becomes the ideal site. And that ideal site is then parroted by the fire chief, the city councilman, everybody who supports, you know, every bureaucrat who supports it, mm-hmm. then calls that an ideal site. That makes me very nervous about how the city is operating.
So they get their marching orders, so to speak. I mean, who is the city councilman out there, and has the city councilman helped you in this or listened to you? Who is the city councilman, first of all?
Donovan Dela Cruz, and he really has been useless to us.
Okay.
Mr. Iseke will tell you that we have contacted him. You know, Marvin has emailed him, and Marvin has sent him registered mail, and you know, he knows the sentiments of the people, and yet he stonewalled us. He just completely went silent. Mm-hmm. But he went over to, you know, but there were two sets of petitions that we have been collecting petitions. Marvin has been collecting mm-hmm. petitions for quite a while.
Saying what?
Saying that they want the city to explore other sites, and that condemnation is the last resort, and that Haula deserves a public information meeting.
Mm-hmm. On this matter, fire station and all.
Yeah, on this matter. And to me, it, you know, it's a very reasonable request, you know, to have your city council member help you out. But he did not. He said it was all for, public safety. But the matter, you know, the fact is that we only have one police substation in Kahuku, and the next closest, you know, police help we can get is in Wahewa and Kaneohe, while we have about 14 fire stations within an hour, you know, hour's drive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really not about public safety. If he was going to talk about public safety, there is a beach park in Velziland mm-hmm. that has been closed for the past 8 years because we do not have one lifeguard assigned to that area. To me, that's public safety. So where is the logic in all this?
Right. Marvin?
Well, I mentioned when we had the board meeting, even the Haula Community Association meeting, and I said to them that I think Sacred Falls would be a good place because they won't be condemning nobody's land. It's just a matter of the city the state, I think the state owns the land and transferring it to the city, and there will be no condemnation, and it's a big area where they can do what they want to do with the land. They can have, if they wanted to put a helicopter pad in there, I think it's big enough. But to condemn somebody's place, which is Coon James, mm-hmm. when there's other sites, well, one in particular, I said, was Sacred Falls. But they did not tell us the other sites. Mm-hmm. So this is something that I can't understand. They always mentioned we had nine sites, but never disclosed the place to the community. And I asked many times at the meeting, why don't we have a town hall meeting and have our officials come down and talk to the people of Haula to give them an idea as to where the sites would be, and then let the people decide which is the best of them all, mm-hmm. which they failed to do.
Because they're going to just push it through, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
What is it? You don't have to give me the dollar amount. I can see it's obviously there's a toll it's taking on the community and everything. But dollar-wise, you're now having to fight this. Can you give a basic idea, a rough idea of what it costs you to muster up this fight?
Okay,
the
That's a very, very, very insightful question. You know, there is a joke about eminent domain, and I don't think it's a very funny joke right now. It is that, you know, eminent domain is when the government wants your land mm-hmm. and the attorneys want your money.
I see. Okay.
And that to me is itself a tool that the government uses. Because they know that most of the people will not be able to afford the very expensive legal fees that owners have to pay, you know, to represent themselves or to represent their interests. You know, for example, if it was just an easement, or if your land was worth $150,000, you know, then you had to pay attorneys maybe the fee of $100,000 to fight for it. You know, mm-hmm. is it worth the price?
So if your price is $150,000 for the land, and you got to fight and pay
$100,000,
so you might make $50,000, but then
you might lose $250,000 instead of $150,000. So that is the injustice there by itself. That the eminent domain process, it's really not a equitable one, because in my case, it only took 42 days. You know, Mr. Miata just said, okay, you know, it's my way or, you know, it's my way or the highway, and mm-hmm. because you're not going to cooperate with me, I'm going to send this resolution to the city council. And he sent it in on December 31st, 2009.
Mm-hmm.
By January 4th, it was already drafted by the corporate city council. And January 13, the budget hearing was you know, budget committee was already hearing it, and by February 24th, that resolution to condemn was already adopted. And all owners get is 1 minute or 3 minutes presentation. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very inadequate and unfair process, because it's literally you against the whole city hall.
So in other words, while all of this was, the clock was ticking and they were hurrying, probably faster than you've ever seen bureaucracy.
Oh, I'm so surprised it's so efficient.
And in all this time, Donovan De La Cruz, who's your council member, you're writing to him seeking assistance, and he's pushing and charging ahead.
And stonewalling us, you know, when we are in his constituents.
Yeah. Well, you're listening to the Carol Cox Show. If you'd like to call in or have some suggestions or whatever, comment 524-1080. We're talking eminent domain and government at its worst, I guess. So I look back at, we did research on, I contact Corporation Council, I contact Mr. Miata regarding these things, and contrary to what was being conveyed, and you have it on YouTube.
Yes,
and some of the council meetings, and he was quite sure and cocky of himself
arrogant,
in
I would
speaking,
say.
There. And he wasn't being taken to task by the council. The council.
No.
There was one comment that struck me as it said, they use the term, oh, it appears. Can you speak specifically to that, where he uses the term, it appears to something, and then Todd Oppold said, what do you mean it appears? But still, they passed the resolution.
Yeah, that's you know, very interesting. In fact, if you know, if you guys you know want to, you can Google Hawaii eminent domain abuse, and you can see all the YouTubes there. Hawaii eminent domain abuse. You know, when you see the YouTube, it scares me. It scares the heck out of me that something so important as eminent domain is taken so carelessly and so flippantly,
mm-hmm.
and the you know the whole process is so flawed, including they do not do their homework. And yet, when the city council, like, you know, Mr. Todd Apple or Ikaika Anderson, ask him questions,
mm-hmm.
70% he doesn't know, and most of the time he gave the wrong answers.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, we're sitting there behind him, you know, we can't do anything because the rules of the meeting forbid us to clarify.
What was the situation? I'm trying to get the...
It appears to be...
Because I don't remember that you've been dealing with them. What
yes.
was that exchange?
Okay, in that exchange, it was between the chair, Todd Apple, and the corporate counsel, Winston Wong, and Tom Miata. And the question was posted to them because there are two lots, and the other owner has... told them they would sell because of, you know, financial consideration and situation. And what was given to them was just a piece of paper to say, you know, I agree to sell.
Mm-hmm.
And so the other owners said, okay, you know, they will sell for personal reasons. And they, Mr. Miata was using that weapon and saying, well, we already... forced and bounded to sell, so we've got to push through this condemnation. And so the question was asking, do we have a legal binding contract to sell,
mm-hmm.
you know, the other lot? And of course they want to say yes because if they say that, you know, they don't, then, you know, it's not a very good basis for them to condemn. So they say yes, and so the question was asked, is this a legal contract, you know, a bona fide contract? And Miata said, oh yeah, it appears to be. And when they asked the corporate counsel, is this a legal binding contract, it appears to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so it appears to be.
And there was a chuckle by Oppo and a rolling of the eyes. But then at the end of the day, you're still stuck with the threat of your land. So the sincerity at all levels and due diligence, it seems they're going to force feed you, and I'm concerned. I speak to this because it can happen to anyone. You know, if you think you're immune to this process, folks, you just don't know, and you better have an army of lawyers and a bag of money.
Well, you got to have a friend in City Hall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
because the way I see it, if they want it, they take it, and they are not going to be worried about whether it's fair or whether it's legal or whether it's good for the community,
mm-hmm.
or whether it makes common sense.
Now, they've done this, as I was saying, with the resolutions, we look back all the way back to 2004. We couldn't find any resolutions that would fit this description. Now, there have been, for example, 2003, there were... one resolution to condemn leasehold ownership in Makiki,
mm-hmm.
and the city came. And so there are good interests and good purposes behind the need taking land, but giving fair compensation, I would underline that. But that was one. And another was in 2004, the Newtown roundabout. They took some land for that. The next one was encroachment resolution to take. And in 2005, there were three. They did a sewer easement, Hakimo Road drainage, and a sewage placement. In 2006, there were two, Haula Fire Station, Sewer Capilano. Got Ed on the phone. Good morning, Ed. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. I just have one quick question. Where was our wonderful friend Charles DeJew in all this process? Since he keeps saying he's for the people, was he involved? And I'll just hang up and listen. Thank you.
Well, I'm looking at the resolution. At the resolution, DeJew says yes. He voted for it. So, Chun, go ahead.
Mr. DeJew, like Donovan Dela Cruz, was, of course, you know, quite busy with their own campaigns. He voted twice with reservation, but you know, which means that he's not quite sure. But when you say twice with reservation, it automatically turns into a yes.
So, any other question, Ed, or comment? He's gone. But De La Cruz, here they, and this one, this was the resolution for condemnation providing for the acquisition of land for public use to wit Haula Fire Station replacement situate at Kaipapau. Ko'olauloa, Oahu, and declaring the necessity of the acquisition. So as it was voted on, it Kobayashi, yes, Garcia, yes. Apo, yes. And it's strange,
Apo,
you know.
Apo is no. Yeah.
Well, no. I'm reading here from the...
Oh, okay.
I want to speak the facts. Never do I reach into the air because...
That's the committee meeting.
Yeah, this is a resolution here. Yeah. So anyway, the situation here is they voted, and it was the being a lot on that. And everything in here, all nine. Well, take that back. On the council resolution, 10-3 was adopted. Then in term, DeJew voted as it. De La Cruz voted. Tam voted. Okino voted yes. Apo then voted no. And Anderson, that was that exchange on the, it appears.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they should have been stomping their feet saying, what do you mean you're about to take someone's land, causing financial hardship, and you're saying it appears to be. We can't rely on appearance, can we? That's what I expected from. So I was quite curious about that. Lana, you have a question or statement?
Yes. Hi, I'm just a listener, but wow, shocking kind of information that it actually happening here. I know it happened in the mainland, but anyway. I thought I'd give a suggestion, you know, to your guest. Do you know about Malia Zimmerman? She's the president editor of HawaiiReporter.com.
Yeah, I do, and she's helped me. I have written some information, and she has passed, you know, she has printed it. And that's another very interesting question there that you know, it seems to me that a lot of the established media somehow are afraid of the city or have something going in the city that they really do not.
Oh, therefore, movie. I mean, if you would call them and say, cut that, you know, news, they will. It's proven.
You're very insightful, ma'am.
Yep, I know, but you know, it's sad, but, you know, and Sam Sloan, you know, that's why I really was hoping they get that by the paper.
Yes.
Yeah, because at least, you know, they help the people, really. You know, I mean, there's only a limit they can do, too, yeah? But at least they can help you out in some way to present the rightful news on your side, because it'll affect all the people in Hawaii, you know.
Well, stay tuned to Carol Cox Show, and you're here
right
here.
I know, that's
why
I'm listening to you. You know?
I'm not going to send you down the road. They've had...
And so what, Malia Zimmerman can just... But you did contact her, though.
Yes, and she was very gracious in letting letting my opposition be printed. But I found out a lot of things working with the city that you know, this is a really big establishment that you know, is a very big establishment to fight. You know, because
isn't that true?
So connected.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, okay. No. Yeah, you know, I like you know, did you, but I'm very disappointed in what I just heard.
Well, the you know, what happens to us, and I've learned this, and it's a very interesting point. All the city council members and their aides, the way they explained it to me was that, you know, the city council for that district plays the most important role because all the other city council will defer to that district city councilman because ideally he's supposed to know the area, he's supposed to know the issues. But of course, in our situation, we have Donovan Dela Cruz who, you know, who refuses to help us, but instead, you know, will depend on the petition that is filed by Junior IU from La'ie Community Association.
Wow.
And that
actually, so that your councilman is supposed to be responsible. You cannot blame any other councilman for their vote or anything. Because he's a bad dude. I mean, hearing that, oh my gosh.
See, the other council member, we usually defer to your council member. And so the questions that get asked the most of me is, hey, is your city council member helping you? What's happening to that guy? How come he's not helping you? How come he's not listening to you? And my only answer is, I have no idea, you know, maybe except he's trying to campaign for mayor and he has no time.
Oh, my gosh, I can't believe it. Well, anyway, good luck to you folks. I'll be praying and hoping things work out. But, you know, as they say, oh, my gosh, you can't fight the system.
We can. We're going to have to because we're going to have to take our government back.
You're right.
Well, Lana, thank you.
Okay,
and
thank you.
Alrighty, and what I would say to Lana and others that... don't stand back and look at this as if it's your problem, and they're going to pray for you. What I would suggest is if there's any praying occurring, it be prayed that they don't knock on your door. That's the prayer I think you should, because, see, you unsuspectingly just walked up and says, hey, you know, this is great
trying
for the community,
be helpful.
And this is... so, you know, speaking of news sources, and I'd say there are a number out there of news sources that I would suggest that there's a Hawaii Free Press.
Okay.
You can go online there. There is the Disappeared News. Gary Geller, who did the rats here and exposed the rats here in Chinatown. There's Eon Lin, the iLin.net, and then there's a Hawaii Reporter. And the public can go to those. I mean, what's frightening is that, and this is off subject for a minute, everyone thinks we need to go to the big media. Meantime, clearly this story has fell short of their sights under the radar, so... I'd like to say to people, there is news sources out there. And, you know, and I try to put it up at carolcox.com as well in this show. So the thing is, what I would, if anyone go away with this today, a lesson is that don't sit back and say this is Chun James' problem or Marvin Iseki's, because if you do, that would be dumb of you, because if what you're hearing, and the one comment that Lana said was that it's not the other council. Yeah. They all, it's not their district, but they all, this is, justice should be prevailing, number one, should be steering them. They should incorporate that. That's the nucleus. So the reason it can work, Lana, this way is that Donovan can get to turn his back on everybody because these guys are going to just vote anyway. You know, for example, Nestor Garcia, you never hear him in controversy, but he seems to carry the banner for the Hanneman administration. If you pay close attention... no one watches him, but he's never really in the limelight or the controversy, but anything that Hanneman wants, Hanneman gets through Nestor. And that raises many questions. So just because Donovan is, and I think he's failed miserably, and even on the rail, I'm looking at some of the resolutions and the trips that he's taken from Bombardier to go back and look at the rail. Now I'm seeing why he gives you that muddle, mixed, sandy mouth comment about, well, I think we need to enhance the rail and you can't get him to pin him down, you know. And I'm going to ask him to come back on, and if he's willing to talk about, I want to hear some specific answers, because he seemed to be carrying the Hanneman banner too, even though he this leaving you out in the cold, your community. And there's a one point back on track here was you talked about the sanitizing of records and meetings. Can you speak specifically to that? We're coming down on closing time, but go ahead. No, we're not rushed, but if you could.
Thank you. Thank you. And that is really perhaps one of the scariest things is that as I look at the way the government work and the pattern of behavior, that takes place, that's really spooky. So we have all these resolutions and things like that. And as I look back in the city records, someone who has not been involved in the process or who's not been there at a hearing, and you just look at the printed records,
mm-hmm.
you will have the impression that everything is fine and honky-dory because that is how it's presented. And even when, when we speak up at a neighborhood meeting to say that, hey, this is not exactly what happened, because there was a point where I had asked for the neighborhood board to say something about the fire station. We had about 16 people there who are totally opposed to it, and yet the neighborhood minutes come out to say that it's a wash. And
the board comes out with its minutes.
With the minutes,
what was missing specifically? Generically, it was a wash. What does that mean?
There was so many information that was stated that was not covered, and it'll take me an hour to just kind of paint it down. But let me tell you, I went to the Democratic convention, okay. And my heart just about dropped when I saw the secretary of that neighborhood board wearing
what,
a movie shirt.
What neighborhood board is this?
That's neighborhood board 28. And he was wearing...
Where is that? Number? Where?
The convention. I believe it was Democratic Convention.
What neighborhood board?
Ko'olauloa.
Okay.
Ko'olauloa. So the way I see it, there is a movie or the city council wants to do something, they have their operatives to step in and just carry on. In our case, this is the ideal site, this is the ideal site, and they just step in, and it take whatever it takes to make the record look good. So like last month, I was not able to go to the Ko'olauloa neighborhood board. But there was the mayor's representative, Brian Meek.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there again with a piece of paper saying that I promised to sell to the city. And that, to me, was so disingenuous because, again, you're back to the same story that I had given them permission to explore. Mm-hmm. I've given them explain. And yet Brian Meek, of all persons, the city's representative, is continuing to use that to say, well, she promised to sell, which is of course not true because it's just a permission to ask them to explore, which I naively should not have given him.
Now, why would Brian Meek have this? Where was this?
I have
where
no
was
idea.
It located? Where did you meet him with this and he has his paper?
He had shown up at the neighborhood board because we have always continued to question, this is not about me, this is about condemnation of land and lack of public disclosure for Haula.
But he was there, this was a Ko'olauloa, does he normally come to that meeting?
He comes once in a while. We would ask a question and he cannot answer, and then the next month he would not show up. And it's almost like a game.
So it was a response to a question, that's why he showed up with this document.
Yeah, but it was half-truth because there was another letter that we got that said, that there's no commitment to buy.
Okay.
And that was a year later.
So he was being disingenuous with the presentation. But Marvin, you had mentioned something also about the sanitizing of the records. Do you have anything you can speak to that?
Well, yeah. I mentioned to the board that my concern, not only mine, but the people that live in the country area, Ka'aba, Punalu, and all that area. What I brought up was the traffic. After the PCC show is over, the traffic is one mess coming down the highway.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are on Kamehameha Highway, want to turn into the side street, or from the side street getting into Kamehameha Highway, you cannot get through because the traffic is so heavy, they won't let you get through. And I brought it up in a meeting, and I thought the secretary had wrote it down in a minute, only to find out when the next meeting that we had, it wasn't in there. And I brought it to his attention, and I said, how come you did not put it in here? He mentioned, well, we can't be verbatim for verbatim. And he also said the board should have caught that, I guess you could say an error that he failed to put it in. But the point is, he failed to put it in. The board didn't recognize that. But I think this is all something that they don't want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's causing havoc on the highway. And I also mentioned to the board, why don't they have somebody from PCC come to the board meeting and have the Department of Transportation representative come down so they can hear the concerns that we have pertaining to this matter.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we're going to have it because for some reason or another, they just don't want to talk about something like this.
Right. Well, as I say, Chun, my sympathy is with you, but I'm also alarmed that if it happens to you, it can happen to any of us and anybody out there that sitting back now going, oh, poor thing. I would say you've missed the point of this show or this conversation because, yes, the public need should, as a community, we should, if there's an emergency, if there's something that poses a risk and it's the betterment of the community, I'm all for that. But fair compensation and fair approach. But it seems like that this administration, the Hanneman's administration under this, in concert with the Oppos, the De La Cruz, the Garcias, and what happens, this is an administration of honest mistakes,
Honest mistake?
Yes. Well, that's honesty, you know. I mean, again, it's unfortunate, and and I dread ever having to experience this because it just seems to be you're in a pickle, and it's costing you.
Well, and, you know, this is a bigger issue than we think because, you know, we're going to have the rail, and at every station there is going to be, you know, what they call taut, you know, vertical subdivisions. So, you know, they're going to have to be pushing homeowners and businesses out. And even people who live along Kem Highway in Ko'olauloa, you know, the Kem Highway is very, very narrow and the ocean is eating part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we go back to the issue. It doesn't matter what it is that there has the transparency of a government process is important, whether you hate or you love an issue. You know, the people need to have due process. And the government cannot just think that it can bully us because it can.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the scary part about this.
Where are you right now in stages in the court? Where are you with this subject?
Okay, right now the city is suing us to gain possession of the title. And we are placing an injunction on them. And we have court hearing dates coming up. And I am hoping that at least the judicial system will offer a check and balance to this whole mess.
Okay. Marvin, any last comments right quick? We're going to come down to the wire.
Well, I just hope that after all is said and done, Coon James will come out the winner, and then the city can look for another alternative place to put the fire station.
Yeah, they do have a lot of options or alternate sites that they just have not investigated. It's as simple as that.
And you're not opposed to the public's welfare as far as a fire station. You're all for that, correct?
No.
No, definitely. Yeah. I mean, you know, our family comes from four generations of firemen. In fact, my husband's grandfather was buried in his fireman uniform. So we're not against any of that. I am against the way it was taken and the process.
Okay.
I'm all for a fire station. We are, as Chun said, we are not against the fire station.
Mm-hmm.
We are against the location that they want to pick.
And the manner in which they're picking.
And the manner of which they are picking.
And the bullying and the intimidation and the threats that I have received.
All righty. Well, thank you, Chun James and Mr. Marvin Iseki, for coming from Haula. You drove all the way out here. And you're welcome to come back again. Keep us posted. We're not pretentious here. This is about how it's affecting us. So thank you for joining me.
Well, we want to thank you, Carol Cox, for having us here. And I hope the people that are listening will do something, because the condemnation is not a good word to use.
And they can call the city and complain. Okay, well, thank you. All righty. Well, we're going to close out here, but a few things. If you want to go to carolcox.com, we'll have some of this information posted up here in the near future, and you can go to Google and YouTube, the YouTube address. But I'm working on a matter that involved the community, Leawood Community Buyback Program, a benefit program, where the mayor set up a fund to give Waianae side, the Waianae Coast side, in compensation for the placement of the landfill there. Well, what we found is that the mayor selects Mr. Andrew Jamila, who is now up for reappointment to the Planning Commission. Mr. Jamila, in his statement, says that he has no financial business with the city. The mayor submitted this request to Todd Oppo and also to the Ethics Commission. But the reality is Mr. Jamila actually has the Waimanalo Construction Coalition, who receive grants from the city under the benefits program. Now, we don't know why Waimanalo business is receiving benefit packets from Waianae, but we're going to be asking those questions, and you can see the full story at carolcox.com. And we want to ask these questions. And then you heard me talk about Patty Teruya, who has a relationship with Mr. Jamila. She is on the board of the Waimanalo Coalition, Construction Coalition. And I don't believe that she should be a city employee and also on the committee to select the grantee who approves and suggests these grants be given to Mr. Jamila. So we're going to follow that. And yet again, maybe the mayor will get the chance in the TV stations to tell him it was another honest mistake. All righty. Well, anyway, see you next week. Aloha.
And tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show on K108.